Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Nobody panic! Oh my God, it's like Beyonce's Renaissance tour in here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. This is Nobody Panic. We're here at London Podcast Festival. Oh, they've got some lovely London Podcast Festival mugs. I took the liberty of everyone here saw, was actually wrapped. I took the liberty of pouring some water out. A fly's flown in it and died.
Okay.
And that's the energy I want today!
Woohoo!
We won't reveal the topic yet. No. We'll reveal it when the guest is here. But it's a thinker, isn't it?
I think it's going to be very exciting. It's very nice. It's the perfect, dark, cold room
Bleak.
Sunday evening that we need.
Yeah, please.
Please, you do it.
Any more? What? Do what?
Bring our great guest to
us. Do what? Okay, so we have a really exciting guest. We're really happy to have him. He's wonderful. A long-time friend of the podcast, I would say. He's a best-selling author. I've read both of his books, and my parents love his books as well. And if you haven't read his books, you should read his books. His new one's coming out in April, we've heard.
In April.
He's a podcast host of No Such Thing as a Fish, which is a massive podcast. Please welcome to the stage the wonderful Andrew Hunter Murray, everybody. Oh, look at him. He's brought me a wine!
He's brought wine.
But you've got two hands free.
Oh, and God bless you.
He's come out with two glasses of wine in one hand, but the other hand was free for one for the mic, consummate professional.
Never off.
And you won't even believe what just happened.
No.
A fly-free mug was just replaced on the...
Whoa.
Yeah.
By who?
Well, exactly. What?
Thank you so much for coming in and chatting to us today. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Yes, fine, thank you. Should we tell all
of
the good people?
Yeah, do you want to say because we sort of thrust it upon you to be like, please do the podcast, and also what would you like to discuss as a how-to? And do you want to tell people, because you had a number of topics, but I think we thought this one was very interesting, what you've chosen as the topic.
Yeah. Tell
the people.
Is how to be private.
How to be more private. Oh. We love it.
And what do you think brought you to this question?
I know exactly, because it was a WhatsApp thing that you said.
Yeah.
You said, I'll come on Nobody Panic, provided I don't have to discuss my personal life at all. And I was like, okay, maybe we do that as a topic.
I feel like I wrote it in a more friendly tone of voice, but it didn't come
across
that way
to you. Yes, there was an emoji of a little smiley yellow bald man at the end of it.
So I love it. I really like...
To be private.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, you're very good at... well, there's many things I want to ask you, but also it's about being private, not just... Because we were saying it's very easy to be like... Obviously, we do a podcast and there are certain things that we've done episodes about that I'd be like, maybe I was talking about that and I should have given it some more time or whatever. But it's actually just in everyday life, like, you know, you're at a dinner and someone's like, oh, tell me about him! I don't know why you're hanging out with that woman. or if she exists. Yeah. How do you deflect that? How do you... Also on social media, like, how do you maintain some sort of if you like Instagram but you don't want to send a picture of your foot enthusiasms, for example.
Of course.
Like, so it's a very broad topic.
I think we live in a very difficult time.
Oh my gosh.
And I won't.
I don't think anyone's ever said that before. Tell me more.
I won't say anything further. I think that's it, isn't it? Like we're constantly sort of just banging a pan on the edge of the street, being like, anyone want to look at this?
The NHS.
Taking our pants off for the NHS, of course. I can't stress enough. She has got matching shorts on under there. You can't see them.
And
there
a French top, so you could see the shorts.
Bit of fun.
Anyway.
No, I feel like we're constantly just honestly kind of being like, anyone want to look at my holiday? Anyone want to look at this? Anyone want to look at my children? Anyone look at all these things I've done? You know, we're just like, it's relentless. And it feels, to make this decision to be private feels like the surprising thing to do.
Taboo, the one last taboo. The
one
last, only
last
taboo.
The only last taboo.
Yeah, wow. No.
Okay.
Say something else, but let's not.
Go okay, on. What was it, John?
No, I was going to name loads of bad taboos. I don't think that would have been the correct thing to have said. Continue.
Have you ever read a book called The Circle?
Oh, I have actually.
Dave
Eggers' book, The Circle. We were very taken with it. I don't know if anyone has read it. It is certainly a bit of fun.
I would say it's like a holiday read about privacy.
A holiday read about privacy. You know? It's about a company that's very clearly Google. It's actually called.
Or
like,
Facebook. I would say it's very clearly Facebook.
It's very clearly Facebook. couldn't have been clearer. Couldn't have been clearer. Me reading and being like, Google, I guess. Don't need to tell me about Google. Okay, right, it's Facebook, gosh. Okay, so...
I don't think you can even search for things on the company in the book.
Yeah, sorry. So it's clearly Facebook, and the company just get... It's about, like, what if Facebook became its nth degree, and, like, what if it was just pushed to its final evolution, and at one point an employee is forced to wear this, like... necklace that's a camera, a 360 constant camera, and she's basically streaming her life live relentlessly. And the reason they come up with it is that they decide that if you're having an incredibly special or exciting moment or doing something that maybe not many people can get to do, like canoeing down an amazing bit of river, if you're not sharing that with anyone who could never get to canoe that river, then that not sharing should be a crime. And they say privacy is theft. Like to keep it to yourself is to take it away from everyone else not sharing it. And I do feel like while the book is very on the nose and certainly some of the messages might not have quite got through, but like it does feel like it hits a very human and very current feeling, which is this idea of like I must share and I must be constantly. It's like did this dinner happen if I didn't, you know, tell everyone about it?
Have you seen the Ring boxes? Which have the small camera built in, so that
no,
as you
the engagement
open
ring.
It,
no, no,
I don't.
As you open
for
it,
that.
I get pitched those quite a lot online, and I.
Also, that what a terrible angle of the camera.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. How I say yes, of course.
You'd watch it back after. He's like, "That is awful."
No, no.
What else? The ring is taking up most of the focus, like in the beginning of it.
Yeah.
I have seen a lot of that. That it's very expensive. It costs, you know, thousands of pounds to hire a photographer, a videographer, to like hide in the long grass.
Well, the hiding is the expensive.
The long grass, of course.
Yeah.
Like, well, you go on your like private like hilltop walk, and then you reveal like actually there's all these people hidden in the long grass. I just think if I was proposed to and then discovered that a videographer had been hiding in the long grass, I would never trust anything ever again.
Yes, and also, but as well, absolutely fine to do those things.
Absolutely.
If it's something, it seems like we don't think it's fine, but it is fine to do those things, but it's about balancing them, like, and knowing that you're doing it, which I'm fascinated by, knowing why you're doing something and whether you're doing it now performatively because you're so used to doing things performatively online and knowing like what you actually want to do. But look, we've got a big old basket of things here.
Yeah.
We've got some adult things from the audience, basically. So dive in, Andy.
Yeah.
Dive in, get a pal. Okay, I don't know if this is an adult thing, but an adult thing happened to somebody. They were accidentally CC'd into an important email chain at work. I mean, inadvertent adult thing.
Wow. I'm already on the edge of my seat.
There was a whole other, there's a whole blank bit of paper. We needed more context. Like, I wanted
to
know
it?
What... That's it?
Oh, my God.
I know.
Was it good?
No. We'll never know.
I charged my electric toothbrush for the first time in a year.
That's adult.
I spent the past year just using it uncharged, just using an analog toothbrush.
Oh, but it's so, it's not, the bristles aren't dense enough.
It's not good enough to, and I know I've done it, it's not good enough.
I've tried, but you have to sort of tap almost to get, it doesn't matter. Again.
Oh, yeah, well done you for charging. Well done you. What you got in there?
Bought plane tickets to support my ex in his first marathon.
Well, you know, you've technically got to be an adult to have an ex, legally.
Legally. And to buy plane tickets.
Oh, right, can babies not buy plane tickets?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Since when?
This person, I have, it's very impressive, but I do have feelings. Went out on a Saturday night, yes please, all right, where are we going next? To assess the noise levels and antisocial behaviour on a road where we're considering buying a house.
Yeah!
Yeah, boy!
I really like that.
Yeah. You've got to see it in all conditions, in all weathers.
You've got to, that's
it. I respect that really fully.
I love that. Knocked on a wall to see if it was load-bearing. That's, okay.
Okay,
we're now getting to
Now we're talking.
To that person, I just want to talk to you afterwards about buying a stud and cable detector, because those are very interesting things to me.
Do you
have one?
I'd love to talk about it with you.
Because so many of them are inadequate to the job. So cheap. Have you got should I name the brand? I think it's Philips.
Please do.
It just detects studs and cables everywhere you point it. You put it on a piece of foam and it'll say there's a stud. Drill.
You put it on your tummy and it's like, that's a pipe. You're like, I don't think it is.
It's loco. I've got one here which is, where was it? Here we go. Gone to work every day, but it's written in quite, no offense, strung out handwriting. Like this is
got really what every day?
Like gone to work every day, but it's like it's not been a good week. Yeah. That's what I'm getting. The graphologist.
All capitals as well. Yeah. Screaming it. Oh, on the topic of work, I haven't been happy in my job for a while, so started applying for others, lots of others, and now have two job offers.
Hey.
Yes! That's a good one.
Real Mrs. Doubtfire stuff. I hope you get them both, you know? And you just have to run between them. Incredibly
famously
specific
the main
reference
part
to
of Mrs.
the dinner party in Mrs. Doubtfire, where Mrs. Doubtfire attempts both dinners.
Absolutely.
We're all on board.
We're
all on board.
Here's a nice one. Bought a mini dustpan and brush, especially for the work surfaces.
Do you not just get the bit of your Hoover and just go... Blah, blah.
Oh, if you're an adult, Stevie. No way.
A little tiny for a mouse.
Mini D&B, yeah.
Trying to avoid my nephew's questions about whether the tooth fairy is real and where the money comes from. It comes from Fairyland.
And then the next question is, what do they do with the teeth? And then you're like...
They eat them.
Uh-oh. Is that it?
Your face. Is that what they do?
But is that the canon? Is that what you're supposed to do?
No. That's dark.
So why are they paying
for
them?
Why is that dark that they eat them? What would be dark is they use them as bait.
I thought they used people
eating a tooth with your own teeth?
They're
that's
fairies.
Dark. That, yeah.
They're fairy teeth.
I was under the impression they use them as sort of bricks. And they built their homes with them.
Out of your own teeth, is it?
That's nice. Yeah.
All right. Ooh,
but the economy must be so strong that each brick is a pound, you know, and then they have to carry a big... I understand why the nephew struggled.
I think they just eat them. I think it's fine.
Let my 21-year-old flatmate in at 3 a.m. and shouted, "Don't you know I have a presentation in the morning?"
Yeah.
You tell that kid
good.
What
that's
for.
Good. That's a really nice one.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Okay, go.
Went on holiday by myself to the south of France, inspired by your podcast app.
Yes, please.
Oh, that's
a one-person trip. Yes, please.
This is the most beautiful handwriting I've ever seen. All capitals. Filed an EasyJet expense claim. Might help you on your holiday. Just, you know.
Nice.
Bought a new brackets cordless vacuum and researched different brands before and to make sure I got the best one.
Is it a Dyson?
Full stop, Emily.
I like the mystery inherent in this one.
Yeah.
Watched YouTube videos about desks.
Okay, great. Okay, so privacy. I wanted to ask you some questions, Andy.
Yeah.
You've got such a big presence on social media. How do you like stride that balance?
Sure.
aggressively, between staying like private and personal, because there are things about your life that you don't like, most things that you don't put on there.
Yeah.
And have you ever been in situations where you've had to like be like, oh God, you know, I've had to deal with that in terms of.
I don't know. I'm quite an advanced case though, and I should wanting to keep things private. I should say, like as you said slightly earlier, there is absolutely nothing wrong with putting out whatever you want to into the world. It's very nice. It really does help people connect, but. For whatever reason, I love to not do that, and I sort of struggle to identify why. I think it's just.
Have you always been like that since you were a kid?
I'm not telling you.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Oh, you passed the test. What? You're trying to get out of him.
No, that's the, I can't identify. Yeah, probably my family were reasonably like that, like reasonably private. But you don't really have any context of that growing up. Mm. I didn't grow up in a kind of an alarmingly private situation where I was encouraged not to say anything to anyone. You know,
Tessa, like, so obviously we do this podcast and we talk about lots of personal things, but also, like, Tessa, you're very, very good. I was going to say, like, you're very, very good at, there are certain things that you do not talk about on the podcast, and no one would know what they were because you literally.
My tennis career, of course, my professional tennis career.
She's Greg Rosetsky. Yeah, it's my contemporary reference from me.
I'm it's like Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus, but it's me, Greg Rosetsky. Never in the same room.
A nice 50-year-old Canadian man, retired 10 years ago, of course.
I'm so glad you knew something about him, because I was like, I cannot carry on this bit at all.
Canadian, that's what people know about Greg. Canadian. And that's it.
He's Canadian. He's not Tim Henman, poor guy.
I suppose it's about finding the thing about being like, these are just the things I... But then I'm like, but why my tennis career? You know, why have I chosen that this is the things I'm not going to talk about? And yet I'm so open to telling, like, you know, a diarrhea story or something that that arguably people will be like, don't talk about that.
It's kind of just about where you keep the things that you want to keep. Mm. It's not automatically the things that mean you feel self-worth in. As in, it's not that you get most self-worth out of your tennis career.
Mm. Or your diarrhea, of course. That, no,
yeah, right. But it's sort of... It's just knowing which bits you particularly want to fence off. Yeah, and it's so tempting not to do that. And I know some of my friends are really good at getting things out of one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've ever had this experience of meeting someone for the first time. I met someone at a lunch, like it was a sort of like...
what's that?
You were like this, it's sort of okay, a couple of plates.
So like breakfast, but not dinner, yeah.
But like it was a group lunch for people who, for writers and things like that. And I sat next to someone who was unbelievably good. As at, just within half an hour, I had mentioned things that I had no intention of mentioning when I left the house that morning, that things that I thought are really quite private and integral to me, and she's actually a brilliant interviewer for newspapers.
Well, yes,
and
quite
you're
clearly,
like,
yeah.
Oh, you can see how it's really amazing, and it is definitely a skill, and interviewing is a skill, and you know that's why people love Desert Island Discs. Is it you're getting to the core of someone, you know, and through music.
Like a safe way as well.
Yeah.
But also it is, I think...
Sometimes it's not safe, actually. I know people who've cried for hours and days after doing Death Is
Alive. Because they said too much.
Well, just they felt themselves completely unzipped.
Oh,
and
wow.
They sort of just, you know, slithered out of their outer shell onto the floor. And
it was Christ! Like
yeah.
Could not get that from listening
those
to it. Yeah,
those
you,
were the, yeah, yeah.
Did you,
yeah.
At the lunch, did you feel that you were...
Slithered out of your own
skin. Unzipped.
A little, yeah. It's kind of, I didn't mind it too much, but it is striking how sometimes you know, we all want to be liked, we all want to make a good impression on people, and sometimes that, when someone's asking you something, often when someone asks me something really direct, I answer because I'm so surprised that I've been asked something that direct, and I think, oh yeah, well, I'll just tell you this.
It feels like you're having to, and you're not, you have to like defend your position on being private, and actually there's no need to do that, and it's actually probably really important because I've got quite a lot of friends who I've just got quite a lot of friends and I'm done here got quite a lot of friends who are sort of influencers on Instagram, particularly is the one really where they got in the ground level, so we're talking 2013, the boom. But even if you're not an influencer, but if you are just somebody who has been online for a while, they particularly are struggling now, so they're maybe now in their 30s, whereas before they were in their 20s, it was all new and exciting, they gave a lot of themselves, and now it's a case of being like, okay, well, all their money is tied up, for them, this is very specific, but all their money is tied up in like specific areas of their life that they have given that now they don't think anymore. For example, like if you've spent your whole life being like online, being really, really, really vocal about like being single, and then you get a partner, you're like, oh, now I feel bad for all of my followers. Like, what are we doing? And so, but obviously that's a very specific example, but that's a very extreme example. But I do feel like there's a performance that is played on social media that sometimes you don't know why you're doing something. So I spoke to somebody recently who's getting married, and she was struggling. She's not an influencer. She was just really struggling about like the outfit because she was like, well, I'll have to get changed numerous times because obviously the photos. And it's like, but but for Instagram, like who cares about like, you know, you'll have them yourself. Or, do you know what I mean? Just like, so I feel like it's really... I feel like it's something that you've got to like, it's a very personal relationship with, and actually having things that you are private about is not weird in any way. It's actually, I think it's quite necessary. Mm. Like, I don't talk about my partner at all on the podcast. He has a nickname and everything. And like, that is purely so that it's mine, you know? And like, I don't feel that other people don't have any claim to it. And I think that's becoming quite like less and less. I feel like I've spoken for 20 years, no, but like no, less and less.
We're captivated. We're
I don't imagine so, but thank you. But yeah, like, So that is, and it's very easy to talk about like superficial privacy in terms of like cookies on websites and like, and they're like quantifiable things you can do. But I think the privacy of your own mind.
Yeah.
Where are the cookies on that?
Wow. Wow. Oh. No one saw that coming.
No one saw it.
No. Yeah. It's an audio medium.
But yeah, how do you feel about the kind of social media? Like, you know, how do you, because when someone asks you a very direct question, the easiest thing to do is just sort of go like, oh, fine, vague, and then ask them a question and move back. But on social media, it can be quite tricky to know you've been caught into that loop.
Mm.
So it's something I feel very passionate about, because I feel like I've been caught in that loop a little bit, and sometimes I will put something out, I'll be like, and I'll think about it for ages, being like, why did I need to like show so much of that, or like, why did I need to put so like I put a wedding picture on, and then, and but it took me like 2 weeks, so I was like, but why? Because my friends know.
Yeah,
I'm doing it for the masses.
Yeah.
For the press, of course.
Yes. I think what I worry about with Instagram is the like the amount of times I've pored over a photo, either by someone I don't know who I hate follow, and I hate follow. They're mostly strangers who I hate follow, so I don't actually know who they are.
Okay.
But I do hate follow them, which is such a bleak thing to do with my time.
It's terrifying for anyone who's on social media, because you're always like, oh, but someone probably hate follows.
That's the thing. It's like, it's so, and then also, but with just not friends or distant friends or whatever, the amount of times with other people I've analyzed a photo or something that someone has put up, and then therefore I'm thinking of that if I put up a photo of being like, what are people
other
thinking?
Other people will analyze, you know, me in that way.
Of, it's the soft launch of a new boyfriend of like
a hand.
Yeah, like, bit of a big hand. Like,
what, bit of a big hand.
Yeah,
but that or could like, be you going out with Thing from the Addams Family. Yeah, they don't know.
Yeah. Well, like, you're soft launching your lover Thing. Yeah. The big hand. But like, so you would might put up like a dinner table picture, or it's like of you at the dinner table, and then it's like, and then there's one big huge hand.
It's like a normal soft lawn,
just like on your face or something. Yeah. And then there's this like, oh, like who's she at dinner with? Like who's what's
soft
this?
Launching a new boyfriend is such a terrifying concept. I love
and,
it.
And yet, like we
it,
all know
is that
it.
A thing?
Like,
oh my god, 100%. Yeah.
Look at the nods. Like, this is the soft launch of the new boyfriend.
Yeah.
So, like, and yeah, it's really like, wow. And friends, actual real life friends who I know knew in real life had a boyfriend, and then I would see them soft launch with the gram, elbows, bit of hand.
Is there an elbow
or knee? The game.
Is there an order of joints that goes like, what's the most?
Great question.
Like, armpits last, right? And then
armpits last.
Yeah, yeah.
Then a bit side of butt, nude butt.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's famous people though. I don't think your friend's soft launching your boyfriend with a nude butt. Is he?
No. But like, I think it's, there's a lot of like, anything that looks like you happen to be a bit of, like as though they've purposely been cropped out of the photo.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's a...
So it's like a, oh, I'm keeping this private, but not really. I'm subtly revealing that there's something I'm keeping.
It's a teaser trailer.
Okay, now you put it in terms I do understand. This is the thing of having been out of the game of lots of social media for a long time, is I feel like a one-year-old child in this environment. I know nothing of it. It's all new to me.
There is the truth. The teaser trailer of The New Lover is a big thing.
Wow.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I have a problem where I would like to be, I am quite a private person, but like I struggle when I'm in a social situation and somebody asks me a direct question, I will just tell them and I feel like I feel bad and terrible.
You feel a bit put on the spot?
Bit put on the spot. And yeah. then I'll go further and I'll be given, because I want to like make it a thing. Yeah. But so when someone does ask you like a direct question, do you how do you worm out of it? In a way that isn't like, I would prefer, no comments, sir.
It's hard, isn't it? Because you don't want to seem, yeah. Because it's
say. Sometimes like deflect, make a joke or make a thing or like put the question back on them or...
I'm not very good at bobbing and weaving like that, to be honest. We should practice now. This should be like the dojo.
Okay, here we go. Do you own a horse?
Okay,
wow.
That was really powerful.
Yeah.
Same again, but angrier.
What's the worst skin condition you've ever had?
Oh.
See, you're going to tell me.
I am. And I'm going through the Rolodex, and that was such a surprising question.
Yeah,
that
right?
That was amazing blindsiding. That was brilliant.
You're so welcome.
Yeah.
Because it's just the right amount of being like... you're like, yeah, all right, I will discuss. And you're like, good question, why not? Yeah, it's got rash.
Well, hang on.
I haven't had many. I get quite...
yeah.
Like, I get quite dry hands in winter.
Yeah.
Is that a condition?
So this is
a great example of it's actually okay to be private about some things. He does not want to talk about equestrian matters.
Yeah.
But happy about skin, and that's okay.
Well, so this, I think, is where I find a big part of the problem is, like, for me, that moment of you being like, I'd like to talk about my dry hands and feet. I'm like, that's...
What do you mean, and feet? I didn't say anything about feet. There's the foot enthusiasm.
Foot enthusiasm.
Back it
I'm
comes.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
My feet are very supple,
sorry,
actually.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
That to me is like, so sorry about that. I mean, that to me is like humanity and like, you know, we're bonding and we're talking and like now we're like, we're having a real chat about something. And that to me is like all I ever want from any sort of social interaction. Yeah. And so it's a really hard line of this, like that I do think that like the things that the slightly surprising questions and the stuff and the talking about the truth things, like that is where I think the good stuff is. And so then it's hard to find this line that's like, but here are the things that aren't.
No, you're right. And again, yeah. there's nothing wrong with asking those questions or giving the answers. There really isn't. And again, it's all personal preference. Every single bit of this is personal preference. And it's just, you don't know where your lines are until sometimes you've gone outside them and then you feel like, oh, why did I say that about the dry hands? You know, or whatever
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a really interesting one. And I met someone on holiday who was unbelievably, again, this is another person who was very good at asking quite personal questions and then just like smiling and waiting and leaving this chasm of silence
into which you are tempted
to pour everything about yourself. I find that really interesting because those are some of the best conversations you'll ever have, but you have to both be playing. You have to both be on court.
Yes, basically. I worry with myself that I'm not in a Machiavellian, not in a purposeful way, just genuinely so interested in people that I feel I must sometimes ask the wrong questions because I do often receive in the morning like a series of text messages that are like, please don't tell anyone about the dry hands.
Oh, wow, you know? Do you?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
So I do
you're
get...
You're one of these people.
I'm one of those people that you're worried about. But I don't mean to be, I swear to God. I really...
It's just like it's a mismatch, isn't it?
So you
feel comfortable asking certain questions that you won't know that I might not...
I feel like, but you've told me. And so I'm like, great, I thought we were having a good conversation. Then afterwards you're like, I actually regret what I've said.
So there was a thing recently, and this is actually a great deflection tactic because I do a very factual podcast which is just all facts, wall-to-wall facts, and there was a study recently that's a great deflection
great,
opener
good, yeah.
but there was something about how long people want their conversations to last at, let's say, a party, and almost no one is in a conversation for what they judge to be the right amount of time. Most people find themselves in conversations that go on a bit too long, or they would have liked to stay talking, but the other person didn't want to. So there's between you and other people, there's always a slight difference, and there are about 50,000 metrics on which you can have those slight differences conversationally.
Wow!
And in your personality terms, and so you're always going to be negotiating these things, and you know we're all on different. It sounds like we're all on slightly different bits of the privacy spectrum. So as long as you know broadly where you are, then. you know, you can then act based on that, and that's,
yeah. And if
that's
you have
fine.
Like if you have like a set thing, so if you're aware that like a party, like you have like a line that you say that will like gracefully get you out of having to answer a question, and then you just like that's just what you do when someone says, "Do you own a horse?" I mean, maybe not like shout that back at them, but like you can go like, "I don't know, really. Do you? Are you into horses? Do you know what I mean?" Like, I think that's what. Mm. And if so, then if you know it's coming, like you know how to act in that moment. I think that's quite like.
Yeah, I don't know really. Do you is sort of a catch-all for everything, isn't it? It's like
yeah, literally everything.
Literally everything.
I don't know. Do you? Yeah, it feels very natural in the mouth.
But if you're asked a question like, "Do you have children?" and you say, "I don't know." Do you?
Oh, you found the one flaw. Yeah.
But no, is it like?
Do you have children?
Have you got a job? Do you? Do you?
Yeah, it's like, she doesn't work for anything, does it? Doesn't work for anything. Literally works for absolutely nothing.
You got a house? Don't know.
A bit.
But that's the thing.
Because when you say you've got a house, like, can I live in it? I haven't got one.
Yeah. Financial stuff is a thing people are really be really open with or really private about, and it's
that's one of your privacies, if I may. And I think actually ended by you going, "I don't talk about money. It's vulgar."
That's what I do like to say.
Oh, that's accusing.
I will not discuss the vulgar topic of coin.
That's very.
There's your get out. I will not discuss the vulgar topic of blah. Whatever you've been asked about.
Yes, if you can. Said in a fun voice.
In a fun voice.
So the other person doesn't feel bad, you must always employ the fun
and
voice.
And if instead of saying money, you can say coin, you really can get out of a lot.
So what would the baby one would be like?
Issue
or my sire.
My sire.
Yeah. My heir.
Or breeding or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I will not discuss the topic of breeding.
Yeah, yeah. The vulgar topic.
The vulgar topic of breeding. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's
it. And you're out.
Yeah. And then it's just like, ha, ha, ha. And then everyone's like, yeah. And then everyone's really confused by you for a moment. And then they forget really what they've asked.
Yeah.
That, or you just moon, of course, obsessed with mooning.
Love to moon.
That is the catch-all for everything.
A little moon.
Even if I did it now, you wouldn't hate it.
No, I've never suggested
it'd be
otherwise.
Confusing, but you wouldn't hate it. Fine.
Okay, so that is interesting about me. I don't like to discuss the vulgar topic of coin.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, you might. Did you know that already?
Not
like consciously,
or
did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's again,
what a thrilling hush.
But don't feel that silence. That's another thing.
You're right.
You're so
right. Because we are doing a podcast.
We are doing a podcast, and this is very. This is a live fire situation. But
don't
if you
feel that silence, three people hosting a podcast.
No, there was recently a Quaker podcast which was broadcasting a Quaker meeting. And it was they're silent in their meetings until someone's moved to say something.
Oh, right.
And there was a Quaker cast where they had a brief introduction saying, "You're about to hear live Quaker action." And all words were a bit less sort of thrilling than that. And then they just had 25 minutes of silence, and then the episode ended.
You're joking. It just ended?
I think they might have had an outro as well.
But like how many?
That was
that the was sound of Quaker.
That was quaking.
Like, how many? Sorry, is this an ongoing series?
I think it was not. I don't know if they kept going for many. I think they wanted to spread the word. Ironically, spread the word.
Just tell people how a Quaker meeting goes, just in case anybody's not completely.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. So a Quaker meeting is they arrive. You wait and you sit until. And I'm not a Quaker, so I don't know exactly. But I think you wait until you are moved to say something. In which case, you stand up and say it. Everyone is an equal, I believe, in the I think
there's no leader.
Society
no,
of friends, no leader, no followers. You just, you know, if you're moved to say something, then you do, and if not, then you don't. And people find it amazingly comforting. And but I think
anyone can go in. Anyone can go in and sit there.
It's in Fleabag series 2. It's probably the biggest.
I think there was everyone being like, you know what a fucking Quaker meeting is.
We were all thinking it. Yeah, yeah.
We all saw the hot priest at the Quaker meeting.
Yeah. But I think it was a faithful rendition of Quaking.
It was exactly that.
So I just want to ask before, like, we, you know, is there anything that you feel like, in terms of people who want to be a bit more private online or a bit more private in their person, like, what would you recommend? Like, I don't know, I'm talking to you as if you're privacy experts, but like, for example, I would ask myself, like, I remember I read somewhere that you should always ask yourself, do I need to say this and do I need to say this now? But that was sort of to do with like activism and stuff, and I don't really tweet about that. I just tweet about like eggs and mayonnaise, which are in mayonnaise.
For more Twitter content like this,
how can people take steps to feeling like they have more control?
We're naturally, all of us think of our lives in terms of just stories and narratives, and the world often wants a story from you, whether it's at work or in your personal life, or you want one for yourself, and that's that. Again, that is also fine, but you do not have to provide it necessarily. And I like living in a relatively storyless state.
I don't think I've got a very good narrative for myself. Oh. And I struggle when people ask, you know, so what's
your narrative form?
What's your narrative? Yeah, yeah, like what's the sort of Andy Murray story? And I don't have one, and I don't mind that. I'm happy.
Yeah,
to
you like actively don't want to like basically like cause drama in your like create a drama, create a sort of narrative
and,
in your own
and
life.
Not even as much as drama. Just like I'm here for a while. And then I probably won't be after a bit, but that, you know, that we'll deal with that when we come to it, and that'll probably be all right.
Do you mean like when you leave the party or when you die?
When I die.
Okay.
When I die. Yeah.
And what a way to look at life. That's so nice.
Yeah, it's quite liberating, you know.
That is really liberating.
I've got nothing going on.
People talk about the spot.
You've got nothing going on.
I relish that.
That's definitely really nice. Have. You've got a very rich life.
But
I do know that.
It feels like a rich inner life, I suppose. Yeah. It's not for anybody else, you know. It's for you.
Yeah.
Because
then you
know that you are living the life that you want to live rather than... Because there's that spotlight effect, isn't it, I read about how when people go to like, you know, when you go to a supermarket and you think like, oh, everyone's checking me out, everyone's looking at me.
I've never thought that.
But like, yeah, but this writer was talking about it with such like, of course, when we all go to Asda, and I was like, oh, I just kind of go, I'm thinking about the things I need to buy. But it shows that obviously like there is, but then I read about how the this kind of spotlight effect is kind of happening more and more with, or people are experiencing it more and more,
really?
Because they are obviously getting it reinforced by posting online or whatever, and then it's getting the response back and feeling like they have an audience, which they do have an audience. Mm. And suddenly all the world's a stage and aren't we just players and tomorrow and tomorrow?
Yeah. I mean, everyone's the centre of the universe to them, I suppose, but...
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason the Truman Show exists as a film, you know, because it taps into, like, the greatest human concern, which is...
Everyone's filming me. And I'm Jim Carrey.
That's everyone's biggest nightmare. Yeah. No, like, the idea... You know,
It's an incredible film
It's an incredible
it's so
film.
Good.
But also, it is remains, like, a huge point of, like, all human psychology is this, like, the Truman Show effect of being like, but it could.
Wasn't that in the late night? It was before social media.
Oh,
really?
long before social media. It's a really extraordinary thing, but it's from a psychological... You know, a famous psychological thing, which I don't have the name for to hand.
Yeah.
Jim Carreyism.
Yeah. Mm.
But like, it's this thing that like we all inherently believe ourselves to be the centre of the story because we literally are the
centre
of the story. We have no sense of what came before us, and we'll have no sense of what comes after. We'll be here for a bit and then probably go.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I sort of go in waves, privacy wise. That like sometimes I'm very keen to like discuss everything and talk to people about everything going on in my life, and then sometimes I really sort of retreat from that, and I both don't want to talk about myself, and I also don't want to talk about you. You know, I don't.
Do you just don't want to talk?
I don't want to talk, no. Really. Like, I don't want it. Sometimes people bring a lot of like gossip and drama and stuff to my table, and sometimes I'm really here for it, and I'm like, yum, 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 yum. And then sometimes I'm like, blah, 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 get out, you know? Like, I had to go to a wedding in which I was heavily involved.
Sure.
It was my own. No, it wasn't. but like, I was at a wedding of a good friend, but I felt like I was having to do a lot of work physically and emotionally.
Ooh.
Arts and crafts, okay. Various family members are having a crisis, like a lot, you know, you're just...
Crumbs, right.
You're bridesmaiding hard.
Yeah.
And afterwards, I just was like, there's nothing, I'm a husk. I'm a zipped open husk. Like,
yeah,
I've given...
Yeah, you should know your own skin.
People have not only told me so much and said it and like, and told me secrets as well. I was just like, I was filled to the brim with secrets. I was like, I don't want any more of these secrets.
Yeah.
And I had to take myself to Skopelos.
To A&E.
No, I took myself to Skopelos, the Mamma Mia Island. On my own for 3 days.
Wow.
I didn't even know you did that.
No, in private. I just was like, I don't want to tell anyone I'm going. I just want to go. I don't want to talk to anybody. And I truly just went and I didn't. The man, the taxi from the ferry to the hotel, the man was like, you come alone? And I was like, yes, yes. And he was like, to Mamma Mia Island? And I was like, yes, yes. Like, and then he was like, okay.
The first rule of going on holiday, and if you're a woman on your own and a man asks you if you're on your own, is to go, yes,
yeah,
I am.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Famously. No, he was like so worried for him. And then he was like, okay. He was like, now, lady, we sing. And then he put the full Mamma Mia soundtrack on. Yeah, and we sang along together in the car. It was so nice. But even he wants to tell me some drama with his daughter. And I was like, I don't want to hear it. Like, I'm filled to the brim with secrets. But then sometimes... I'll go on an Uber and someone wants to tell me a drama and I'm like, yes, 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 yes. And I'm invested and I want to hear about it and stuff. And so I think I'm just in this sort of thing of being... And I think I started doing that because my very early 20s, I remember being like, you know, when we were like, everyone was so broken, we were all so chaotic, and like every sort of time I showed up to a party, I remember just like there was some total chaos going on, or a new lover, or a crazy new thing I was having to do at work or whatever. And I remember showing up to this party and being like, oh my God, Tessa's here, come and meet Tessa, she'll have some crazy story. And then she was like, oh my God, tell us what crazy thing you've been up to now. And it was such a like, oh, you've like brought in this weird like delinquent jester to like impress you with your crazy thing. And I felt, I was like, these aren't for you actually, these like all these things that are happening to me, like I don't have to,
yeah, I'm not performing, I'm not monkey,
I'm not a performing monkey, and I don't have to share them with you. But sometimes I really love to arrive and be like, you'll never guess.
Yes, yeah. Yes, I've been there on the receiving end.
It's mostly you who has to hear it, you know?
I love it. But then sometimes, you know, sometimes not.
Sometimes, you know? I'm like, you won't even, I went to Mamma Mia, you don't even know, you know?
So I think that checking in with yourself.
Am I mad? Is this a way, mad way of being?
No.
No.
Well, sorry, was that a genuine question?
Just,
yeah, genuinely asking me if you're mad.
Yeah, genuinely. I just suddenly thought, like, is this a crazy way to behave? That, like, sometimes I arrive and I give you a blow-by-blow of my journey on a line bike.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I go to Mamma Mia and I don't even tell you.
No, that's different. There's different moods and feelings, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Like if you just said that about half an hour ago.
Yeah.
You know?
Like always a roller coaster, this podcast.
But
isn't
no, but I know, but no, but like you said as well, like everybody, we're all kind of like assimilating information constantly, and our contexts are changing constantly. We are changing all the time, every single week to week, day to day, year to year. And so, like, if one day you don't feel, it could be even hormonal, it could be like whatever. But that's what I mean about like you can be a very private person, but you can also be someone who's very, very private about certain things but isn't about others. Like, we did the podcast about like egg freezing, and like halfway through I was like, oh, I can't stop crying, we shouldn't have done this. But it was like, but I also really loved you talking about it, and also I really like talking about it. But suddenly it was like, oh, I now don't want to share. And that's okay to be able to like change your mind. It's like consent or like any of those like abstract concepts. You don't have to become like this kind of like either a private person. I was gonna say like Scrooge, but he's just financially fiscal, do you know what I mean? But like
but like a phantom with your Phantom of the Opera mask.
I don't think I've seen it.
I haven't either. Could you tell us a blow by blow of how that goes?
I thought he just tries to have sex with a lady in a theatre by singing into a...
Is he very private, the Phantom?
Is he a private man?
He hides under a theatre. I think he...
Okay.
I think he's private.
Okay, yeah. He also does wear a mask. You said that immediately. We all know
so
that.
So is he just keeping himself...
He does. I believe he is quite private, yes. The Phantom. Yeah. I think the clue's in the name.
He feels like somebody who is actually not... He's desperate for...
He keeps singing at her.
For connection, isn't he? He's desperate and in love.
But therein lies the multitude. So you can be very private, but also you can sing at a woman. You know, that's fine.
What was your original point on the Phantom?
I don't know.
Okay.
No, it's okay. Talking of good interviewers.
Yeah.
I can't remember why I mentioned Phantom of the Opera, but I'm desperately sorry I did.
No, please don't be sorry. No. I'm so happy you did.
No, but I feel like I just sailed out in a little kayak into waters that I did not know the depth of.
Okay.
You know.
Understood.
But the main
understood.
Point is that don't feel like you're crazy for having some for wanting privacy sometimes and wanting it not other times. You know? Like that is and checking in with yourself regularly, I think, is a helpful thing.
And that's the funny and weird thing about when you put things out online, is that it's quite tricky to put things out online in one mood and then in another mood think, oh, I will take that post down, but obviously I'm not doing any...
I don't want to make it look like a statement, you know, like I'm taking it down, I'm deleting it. Yeah,
yeah, and also you're not able to then remove that knowledge from everyone who's seen it. And again, it doesn't, you know, you might have your account set to only friends of yours who see things and things like that, but once you put something out into the world, which is something all of us have the ability to do, it's not possible to recall it.
Yes, and even if you do delete it. Yes.
Yeah. Which I'm sorry. That's a very 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 obvious thing to say.
No, it isn't at all. It's exactly that. It's the me getting the text message the next day that say, please don't tell anybody that thing I just told you. You know, it's people trying to be like, can I try and recall it? And it doesn't matter. It's gone now. It's out there. It's done. The thing that you tried to keep private is now out into the world, and you can delete it, or you can ask me not to say, but I have already told people
online.
But that's like, not true. I'm very very good with people's secrets.
That's good.
Thank you.
But it's like, I bet you are. Not really. I expect so. Like the best way to if you feel the need to become more private, and you are listening to this, that means that you obviously are thinking about it, and so it's something that maybe you want to try experimenting. Like put your profiles private. Try like interrogating yourself as to why you want this.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Like the ultimate thing is just like, why do you feel this need to like tell people all this stuff,
or like, not tell people anything? Like either one, you know.
Yeah, whichever extreme you feel yourself at. As long if you don't feel completely happy in that current lane that you're in, then it's a question of being like, but why why am I feeling a need to overshare and tell
and maybe
people.
It's not you, maybe it's the person, you know, why when someone brings up something at a dinner table, like, you know, oh, tell us about him, maybe you don't want to tell that person because you've heard them bitching about other people's hymns or whatever, hymns as in people, not the religious song.
Of course.
Yeah. Made that very clear.
Well, but, he lives under the theatre. Yeah. He's nice.
He's a nice guy. Yeah.
He's a nice guy.
But it's him.
Brilliant. Well, look,
he's a good guy.
I think we should end on the Phantom of the Opera as a good guy with his hymns.
I just want to say one thing about our Lord and Saviour, Dolly Alderton, of course.
Sure.
That where she, so her very successful memoir, Everything I Know About Love, and then went after that, I think it was an enormous surprise to her how successful it was. Mm. And then obviously a lot of it is like her enormously private life, you know, writ large for everyone. And then she wrote an essay about it a few years after it came out, in which she used the phrase, I think of all the time, that she said, I was done with wringing out the flannel of my private life. Wow. And I thought that was such an interesting phrase, and you could really... Yeah. It was a nice turn up. You could really imagine someone just like relentlessly being like, what else is in here that I can draw on?
That can use.
And I think especially if you, in the micro version of that, which is like at a party, someone's like, oh, this is a good bit of gossip, or this is a crazy fun story, or tell that, you know, love story or poo story or weird story or whatever.
Yeah, and you don't want to because you feel a bit sad that day.
Yeah,
you know?
Or you're like, yeah, okay, everyone's listening to me. Okay, this is my currency. This is how I'm going to make friends. This is how I'm going to make friends, is I'm going to tell this like objectively too overshadowed, sherry to private story, and this will be my thing. And then in the macro level for Dolly, it's like, this is how I'm going to make my money. Like, this is going to how I'm going to pay my rent. Is I, you know, many years ago,
also a currency, of course.
This is my currency, you know? Yeah.
Money,
and the vulgar topic of coin. Yeah. And like, you know, many years ago, I was pitching to write an article for somebody, and I wrote, they were like, can you give me 10 options of a title for something? And at the time, I was like, this is my currency, is going to be oversharing. And
yeah, what about my life that could I?
What,
could, yeah,
what
ring
of my
dry,
life? What can I wring out from the flannel that it either make people at the party like me or make the editor give me enough money to pay the rent this week, this year? And I remember writing a bunch of different ideas that got like increasingly more and more personal. Mm. And then the last one, I remember thinking, that's way too much. I can't give them that. And it was about, it wasn't even my story. It was a friend's love story. And it was about a love triangle and an affair and all of this stuff. It was so personal. And it wasn't mine to tell. And I wrote it as the last option. And then they replied immediately and were like, that one, please. Yeah. And I remember being like, fuck, like I'm in such a mess here because this is...
I've
wrung myself too dry because this is all I felt I have to give. And then it's like, you've got so much other stuff to give that
isn't...
It wasn't even my flannel.
Jesus, yeah.
And so it's like, if you find yourself in that position, your gut has been like, no, I shouldn't have. I'm unzipped here. I was so unzipped. I was so slithering. And it's like, why are you doing it? Is it because you haven't got any money and you're using this as a way for money? Yeah. Is it like social currency? Is it emotional currency? Like, what is it that I'm doing that I'm oversharing?
Why am I doing
this? Do I want
this?
To impress this person so much? And so I'm just saying like, let me tell you this rawest, worst story that I've got, you know, in a hope of like gaining a faux relationship. And so that's the like the deep unpacking of like, why are you doing this?
And they were always going to pick option 10.
Of course they picked option 10. Of course they were always going to pick that. Like, it was always going to be that thing. And so like in your personal life, that people are always, of course people will let you tell your terrible story.
Yeah.
And of course they will.
Oh, Tess is going to come and tell this great story now, because it's like, because you are good at telling stories, and you, but then sometimes you might not want to, and that's fine.
Yeah. And of course
change.
You'll get the likes for the work, you know, the most intimate story you've ever told. Yeah. You'll get the social attention. You'll get all the things. And afterwards you'll be like, what?
Because you can't keep doing that. You can't keep mining yourself constantly.
The flannel is dry
and the Phantom of the Opera, he's not dead.
And he's not
those
dead.
Are the two takeaways. Don't wring your flannel dry and sing it, women. In theatres. Thank you so much for having us, and thank you so much, Andy, for Andrew Hunter Murray, for coming in. When's your book out? April sometime. Keep an eye out for your own book coming out.
It will
be coming out.
Yeah.
Could you tell the people the topic, or the title, or is it private?
No, it's not private at all. I'll be publicising it quite aggressively at the time. It's called A Beginner's Guide to Breaking and Entering,
and I would describe it as a hot criminal romp.
Wow.
The hot bit came out of nowhere. But
you're
going
on the cover with that blurb. That's amazing.
On it goes. Really good. Hot criminal romp.
Well, yeah, thank you so much, Andy, and your hot criminal romp.
Thank you.
And thank you so much to The King and his place.
What's up, The King, everyone? Thank you all to you. Thank you so much for being here. Please give it up for yourselves. Give it up for Andy. Give it up for Stevie. Give it up for me. And thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.